to you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you, to you, to you. My life is not my own.
Things the Lord won't do, refuse to do is, and that's it, violate your free will. So you have to give yourself away. He's not going to take you. So no matter what kind of gifts or calling that's on your life, if you don't give yourself away, he's not taking you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray this morning that you will use me to your glory, that you will fill this place with your presence, and that you will break and destroy every yoke. Satan, the Lord God, even Jesus Christ, rebuke you. You have no authority here. I speak against you. I cancel your assignment. Everything that you've sent to destroy this service, I return it to the sender. I speak liberty and freedom over the minds and the life of these people. I claim it. I speak it and I decree it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, open our understanding that we might understand the scripture. It is so. So it is, and so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, punch your fingers away and repeat to me. Say, Lord,
Lord,
help me get
everything
that I am supposed to get from the preacher. Amen. We know it's a personal message to you. Neither look to the left nor to the right. They're buried to be in sin. I know I sound like a broken record sometimes telling you neither look to the left nor to the right. But you know, sometimes we blame other folks for us not growing. We blame our wives. We blame our children. We blame the other folks that came to church. Well, let me tell you something. Every sickness, every disease from A to Z is supposed to be in the church. Everything that come attached to somebody, it ought to be here. You just look straight ahead and get what you came to get. If your arm is broken, then you get your arm fixed. Huh? Amen? Whatever it is that you need. And the message entitled, Let Him Come Unto Me. Let Him Come Unto Me. The brother was asking me a question during the men's, during the prayer yesterday. And he said, Pastor, will we always, or will I always be, or will we, I think he said, will we always be under attack? Well, I said to him, you either one or two things. You either fight in a battle, or you're a prisoner of war. And if you're fighting a battle, you're going to be engaged in some stuff. Huh? If you're a prisoner of war, you're already a captive. They got shackles on your feet, and the enemy moves on. The prisoner of God does not walk all night looking for the prisoners that's in the cell. Every once in a while, he'll look and count him. John Robertson, here. Whatever your name is. If you're a prisoner, he'll check the cell every once in a while to make sure you're there. But once you escape, he'll call all his manpower, all his resources. He'll call the sheriff's office, the dogs. He'll call the FBI, and everybody will be looking for you to put you back in prison. Now, if you're going through some stuff after you gotten saved, chances are the prison guard is looking for you. You're free now. That's a good thing. If you hear the hounds coming behind you, good thing. The Bible said, woe unto you when all men speak well of thee. If everybody's slapping you on your back saying you all this and nothing going on, you in trouble anyway. Oh, you in deep trouble. Yes, sir. So, you know, they all be looking for you. Where you seen so-and-so? Hey, where they at? Well, the problem is, help me, Holy Ghost. Well, the problem is, see, some of us are part-time lovers. That gets us in trouble. And some of us trying to live in two kingdoms. That gets us in trouble. See, the Bible said that the ways of a transgressor is hard. And see, some things we're still doing that we ought not to be doing, and we're forcing ourselves to do it anyway, and it's caused us all these problems, and we're thinking it's something else. The message entitled, there are too many that be with thee. You ought to get that Winston Bible study message. The people with thee are too many. Some of the folks you got to get rid of. Some of them you got to keep. Sometimes we put the wrong folks around us. He said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. There's some folks you got to cut loose, and you know you got to cut them loose, but you won't. Some of us, we trying to look just like the world. Just like the world. No. You can't bring a worldly tactic into a godly situation. Expect change. Now, some of that stuff we bring it on ourselves. And some stuff now we just got to let it run its course. You know, when I got the flu, before I started letting them people stick me and stick all that stuff in me, I said, I got enough going on. They ain't sticking that and putting that in me. So what I did was I kind of said, well, let me research this again. Let me tell you something. This is what they say. Once you got it, you got it. You just got to what? Let it run its course. All the over-counter medication make you sick of the dog. Once you got it, you got to go there to get you some chicken soup and get in bed. Get you plenty of liquids so you can push it through your system. Well, why you say that, Pastor? Listen to him. See, some of us, when we wasn't saved, and some of us, when we were saved, we went out and we done some things contrary to the law of God. Hello? And so, those things that we've done has to run its course until the Lord makes his mind up to change it. Hello? See, what happened is this here. Turn the monitors down just a little bit. Listen here now. What happened is this here. See, we're sinning, and we're doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden we wake up one day and say, okay, I'm quitting. Well, we want the stuff that we did to quit too. And because it don't quit right away, then we say we got issues. No. We keep on praying, asking the Lord for mercy. I did it. Guilty. Guilty. If the judge said I got to do 10 years, you know what, and I committed the crime, then 10 years it is. I just ask for favor while I'm going through. The Bible says he will give you favor with the prison guards. It's in your Bible. That means that somebody's going to have to go to prison. Because they're going to be hard-headed, transgressed. They force themselves out there. Oh, I tell them sometimes, yeah, you got to go to jail, but you ain't got to go to hell. Hello? Come on, man, listen now. And this is a hard thing I got to say, but guess what? This is what year, 2014? This ain't 1979. This is 2014, so I got to say something. Listen, see, some of us, we have children out of wedlock. Girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, one-time sex, got a baby. Well, you're going to have to take care of that baby. Hello? If the woman don't want you no more, still got to take care of it. If the man don't want you no more, still got to take care of it. Hello? And listen to me now. But what you can do is, you can go in and repent. Lord, I committed a sin, a fornication. And during fornication, a child will conceive. I ask for your grace and your mercy over my child. Hello? And I ask that you will forgive me of my sin. See, some folks ain't never admitted that they committed fornication, ended with a child. They ain't said that. Look at, they just praying over the child, praying over the child. How did you conceive the child? In sin. In sin. Oh, do I have Bible to back it up? Sure I do. Let me show you this here. See, Abraham thought he had it all together. And God said to him, and thou shalt have a son. Wait a minute, what's that? Now, God done told him and his wife that they were going to have a son, but they figured they were old. They won't help God. Sarai found a woman, and Abraham said, all right. And as a result, they end up with Ishmael. Hello? Son of the flesh. Huh? Hello? So Abraham brought this boy Ishmael to the Lord. Like, he's the one that God said that was going to be there. God said, I should have a son. I didn't need no help from you, Abraham. I didn't need no help from you. But Abraham, he cried out to the Lord. Oh, God, if Ishmael might serve you, Lord, it's Ishmael. God said, no, I told you we're going to have a son. His name is going to be Isaac. But I tell you what, I'm going to bless Ishmael. And he shall be a great nation. Your son, your daughter that you got when you did in out of wedlock in the fornication, they still can be a great nation. They still can be presidents. They still can be doctors, lawyers. Huh? They still can be. So let me tell you something. What you first you need to do, you need to repent and quit hiding under that cloak like it never happened. Hello? Come on, just because the world says it's all right don't mean it's all right. The devil is a liar. Hello? I'm just trying to save your life. Just because the world says it's all right doesn't mean it's all right. You know it's wrong. Okay, so I did it. Don't lie, say you didn't do it because you did do it. Now you got to say, Lord, I need help. I'm praying over this child. I'm praying over it. But the first thing, before you start standing up and trying to pray over the child, first you need to repent yourself. No, don't repent the man. And keep folks out your business. Now, how many did you have? Now, how many children did you have? Now, what's their name? Now, what's their daddy's name? Now, what's their mom? None of your business. I told you I gave myself permission to walk away from folks. When you go talking crazy, you see me walking away, you say, oh, I must be talking crazy. The pastor just walked away. I gave myself permission. So if I walked away in the middle of your sentence, you fill in the blank. I might let you talk to me any kind of way how you want to talk to me. And I'm not telling you all my business. Because you have no heaven or hell to put me in. And I have no heaven or hell to put you in. Huh? Now, this is different. You come to counseling. I ain't talking about the pastor, member of counseling. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about when you start telling people what kind of sin you committed and what you done. You talking too much. That's why you can't get up. They ain't going to let you get up either. They're going to hit their foot on you. I told you, them the one that bust your marriage up for you. Girl, you going to go back to him all that after all that? Man, you see how she talked to you? Come on. Hosea had a woman named Gomer. And boy, she was out there. She one of them kind of street women. She sold herself. But you know what he said? I still want my wife. And God said, go back and get it. I'm going to get her. Nah, God didn't tell us all to do that. But listen, that ain't where I'm headed to. But I'm saying to you is this here. Let me tell you something. No matter what kind of thing that you and your wife have been through, not your girlfriend, not your boyfriend. I told you, God don't ordain girlfriend, boyfriend. He ordains marriages. Huh? Husband, wife, and the two shall be what? One flesh. That's why some of y'all, I know, like I said, you done been there, you done had your experiences here and there, and you know it, and the fire burns. Well, you need to take a cold shower and ask the Lord to help you and start praying about your husband and start praying about your wife. Huh? And don't ask, oh, they got children, church. Thank the Lord. Listen, and ask the Lord. Don't kill your nature, but ask the Lord to help you keep your nature under control. You're going to need that nature when you get married. Don't be calling me in the middle of the night to my, and she laying over there with an Eskimo suit on and looking at me all cockeyed. And, man, I'm tired of this pastor. I've had enough. No. Yes, sir. Got them locks and zippers on her suit. Now you're going to need that nature. You're going to need it. So don't ask the Lord to take it. Ask the Lord to help you keep it under control till you get married. Huh? And y'all shall live happily ever after. But if you're single and you need a wife, and you're single and you need a husband, why you need Prince in at the altar? Huh? Come on, I told y'all that test driving. Y'all can't be doing that. Okay, keep on then. Mr. Brown, bring an alligator home. Keep on. I'm just trying to save your life. Well, how I do, Pastor? I know it's going to be the right one unless I drive the car. God don't make no mess. He don't make no mistakes. Hello? God don't make no mess and he don't make no mistake. He does not make that kind of decision where you got to go out and test drive the car. Y'all know I'm headed. Don't act like I'm the only one here. But that's how we get in trouble. And that's how people end up with soul ties. And when they end up with soul ties, folks calling them, they can't even stand. They hate them, but they keep calling, hello. I was just riding down the road thinking about you. He about to beat your brains out. Yeah, you see, you thinking of him. Or she about to beat your brains out. You thinking of her, because some of y'all women punch men. What you said? I seen some women whoop some men. Get him off, get her off of me, sir. But listen to me now. I heard some women could throw some blows. I ain't talking about slapping. Them women crashing like that. No. Them for cats. Them women. No, hold on. You can take me in a minute, but let me finish this job. Take me to jail in a minute, but let me finish this. I'm going peaceful, officer, but hey, he crossed the line, and I got to show him. Don't try me like that. I ain't got to call my brother or my daddy. I can handle this myself. And I'll tell the judge I done it. See, some of them women can throw a real blow. I ain't talking about a little punch. So don't beat the man. But listen, the Lord is trying to help somebody. Go back and pray over your children, even if you had them out of wedlock. But first you need to repent and acknowledge the fact that you had the child out of wedlock. Huh? You had it in fornication. And I hear the Holy Ghost saying, even if you had it in adultery, you still got to pay for that child. Hello? You still got to pay for them. But what you need to do is repent and say, Lord, I did do it. Don't be trying to hide and like you didn't. Coming up in here and just looking, just won't pray. And the Bible and the baby is going through all sorts of things. You ain't repented, ain't done nothing yet. You just trying to be self-righteous. Nope. Be like that man in the Bible. Lord, I'm a sinner. I did it, and I need help. So you can move on and be filled with the Holy Ghost and do what the Lord calls you to do. Now, some of that stuff, like I said, the brother asked the question. And I speak to the crowd. Some of the stuff that we are going through, like I said, it's just a matter of war. In this world, you should have trials and tribulation. Trials and tribulation. But Jesus said, be of a good cheer. Be of a good cheer. Even if you're fighting a battle, you shouldn't be walking around here looking like you had a lemon for breakfast. Come on. He said, be of a good cheer. Every one of us have things that we have to go through. You don't know what the person sitting next to you going through. They always smiling, got a cheerful look on their face. Somebody, they don't never go through nothing. Whatever. That's how they choose to deal with it. And you can tell people when they lemon, they blaming everybody. What you looking at me for? Huh? They just mad. I can't stand folks. I don't want folks around me. I want nobody near me. We're going out to the country, so what about yourself? Get back in your jalopy and hit 95. But listen, we all go through some stuff. Hello? And one of the reasons the enemy attacks you is because of the fact that he does not want you to help somebody else. Once you found the truth, then the assault comes to you. The Bible said that. Hey, when Jesus started speaking to the men, the folks, when his ministry took off, and he started helping folks, healing folks, delivering folks, opening blind eyes, raising the dead, they got mad. I mean, what he doing? What he doing? Man, they thought to take Jesus and throw him over a cliff. That's because people don't want you to be delivered. So they were going to throw Jesus over the cliff because Jesus was healing the people. Come on now. Wait a minute. Hey, that's kind of crazy. Wait a minute. Here he is coming to bring eternal life. But before they die, he's healing, delivering, setting free. He opening blind eyes, loosening deaf tongues. I mean, opening ears. He causing limbs to grow out, withered hands to grow out. And they mad. They come to church and sit on the front row and their heart just be thinking, who he think he is? Huh? Jesus had to stop one service just to straighten them out before he healed the man. Everybody come to church don't want to be delivered. Everybody come to church don't want to be saved. Everybody come to church don't want to be set free. Some folks come to criticize. And they came to criticize Jesus. Huh? Look what he, how he going to heal on the Sabbath? How he going to heal on the Sabbath? But if they cow fell in that ditch, they'll be down on Sabbath trying to get it out. Huh? Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. So I'm not worried about critics. I'm not worried about what people got to say about me. I know who I am in Christ Jesus, and you need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And you also need to understand that the enemy is going to attack you because he don't want you to help your family and nobody else when you get saved. He don't mind you saying you're saved in a little room, in a little closet, in the dark. If I stay here and I go through, I'll just stay safe and nothing will happen in here. Nobody would offend me. Nobody would do anything to me. And you know what? And I'll turn the phones off so I can't hear no bad news. Come on, see how crazy that sounds? But the enemy attacks you and he chases you to the dark corners. He does not want you to be obedient, to follow the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is for you to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. A songwriter said, I tend to think that there's a purpose for your existence, and it's to tell some lost soul about Christ. And that's where the assault come from. Oh, you thought they were just beating you up just to be beating you up? They were beating you up because of the fact that you are now have begun to be effective. And I need you to be quiet. Imagine what the pastors go through and what we have to deal with. If you get close to the people and hang out, I understand my pastor now, we used to say that. Back then, I kind of like, what do you mean by that? I kept listening. Yeah. But you know what? The more you do it, the more you understand. He said this in. If you get too close and friendly with the people trying to help them out, you're too fresh. If you back up on them and you don't help nobody, then you're stuck up. You can't help them. You can't help them. Can't get close because you're fresh. Back up, you're stuck up. What am I do? Give me a hug, sister, to God. Because he's just so fresh. And back it up. Nah, how you doing? Oh, he's just stuck up. He just don't care about nobody. Look at him. Think he all that. Man, they ain't studying them people. Give me a hug anyway. Devil. I'm sorry. Anyway, let me get on to the scripture here. Let them come unto me. Philippians 2:5. Turn your Bible there. And here's the final question, brothers. You know why we keep feeling like we're losing? Because we ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. See, when people are not filled with the Holy Ghost, what happens is they ain't nothing to fight nothing off. They don't have nothing to fight off. This enemy attack. You ain't got no bullets in your gun. Hello? If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't no bullets in your gun. You got the gun, but no bullets. So the enemy keep popping you, and you can't shoot back. Huh? Jesus, how big when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power. Some folks don't have no power. None whatsoever. Philippians 2 and 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I think that we can fall in trouble right here where he said he humbled himself. Oh no. We ain't obedient, and we definitely won't humble ourselves. No. If the word of God tells you to do a certain thing, be obedient. Be humble. Be humble. I don't care if you the doctor, a neurosurgeon, or whatever you call yourself, a brain surgeon, but you got to be obedient to the word of God. I remember the Bible said that the king walked into the place where the priest was, and the king, it wasn't his job to offer sacrifice, but he was going to take over the priest's job. And they said, king, it ain't good for you to be here. Wait a minute, I'm the king. That's no, king. This is not your job. Be humble. Walk outside. Be obedient. He refused to do so. And the Bible said leprosy broke out on his forehead. See, when you walk in a place you ain't humble and you ain't obedient to the leadership, something going to happen to you. Hello? Something going to happen to you. If you're a child, you ain't obedient to your parent, boom. But, you know, you get people coming into church with the same mentality. But Jesus was humble and he was obedient. Huh? His daddy gave him some orders. I need you to go die for man. Huh? You heard what Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. It was the will of the Father that Jesus die for us. Huh? He was just obedient. And the Bible saying God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him. And he said, well, listen now, I'm going to give you my son, but son, I'm giving you instruction. I need you to go die for that sexual offender. Need you to go die for that robber. Need you to go die for that whoremonger. I need you to die for that thief. I need you to die for that man that's going through in his mind. I need you to die for that woman that has a sickness. I need you to go die. I need you to take every sin of the world and put on you. That's what I need you to do. Go die. And he was obedient. He was obedient. He went to the cross. He humbled himself. He took off his heavenly flesh, if you will. And he put on this thing like a man. And you know, man is made a little lower than the angels. So Jesus had to go lower than God's creation, the angels, to come down to the man. He could have came as an angel, but that was too much. So he came a little lower than the angels so he could die. He could have did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. But he said, okay, I'll be obedient. I'll be obedient. If you want me to die, I'll die. And so he died on the cross for every sin, every sickness. That don't justify you either. When you say the Lord died for every sin, it doesn't justify you in your sin. The Bible said we do sin, and he means ignorantly. If we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ. But people willfully sinning? Oh, you hanging yourself. So no wonder you're going through. Hello? No wonder you're dragging your feet. Nobody knows the trouble. No, because you keep pushing yourself in that same thing. And it's painful sometimes to walk by yourself and not do that. If you go outside and hook yourself in the habit, it's your flesh is going to get used to that habit. I don't care what the habit is, living with a man, living with a woman, picking up a drug, picking up alcohol, going gambling, shooting marbles, or whatever you do in that habit that you all not to be doing. Guess what, though? Your flesh is going to register it. And you know what? And when you get ready to quit, that's how you know you're hooked, because it ain't going to let you. It's gonna fight with you. I passed by the gambling house last night. Boy, it was packed up in there. Over there on Monument. That thing was packed, but they don't have no money. They don't have no money. No, they have the habit, see? And that habit said, go gamble. See, everybody ain't hooked on drugs and alcohol. It's a habit. And I know because the Lord got me going this way, but I know that it's also, I told you, when you open your flesh up, when you open your flesh up as single people and sleeping with people, your flesh get a habit then. Huh? And your flesh get a habit, it cries. Yes, sir. And after the act, you cry, okay, I ain't going to do it again. Whatever time it is, you're doing it again, then you're repenting again. No. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That habit has to be broken. It has to be broken. And only the Holy Ghost can break it and seal you to who God has for you. Ain't no need to send a line. Ain't no need a line. From the pulpit to the back door, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can tell folks it's not. Oh, yes, sir. And while I'm here, let me say this here to be said. You know, in our old church, what I did was I had the authority so I could do stuff like that. So I told the sound man, I said, listen, I want you to turn every speaker on in the house, including them in the bathroom. I know why. See, when the word get hot, people start walking. Where you going? They got to get away from that word. That thing hurt. The word of God hurt. It cuts. It's sharp in the end. Two-edged sword. And it hurt. So they start walking. Where they going? I said, I tell you what, guys. Put a speaker here. Put a speaker there. Put a speaker there. So when they run out there, the word will be waiting on them. So that they might be set free. The word hurts. It cuts. The Bible says the truth shall make you free. Not set. Make you free. You get enough butt whipping, you quit. If it hurt bad enough. But you, I promise you, I will watch it all over the country. That's one of my favorite things to do. Watch them when they start running like cattle. In the major conferences, when there's a real preacher come in with a real anointing and he telling you to name it and claim it. Come on now. You live in any kind of way, he telling you to name it and claim it. You're blessed, blessed, blessed by the best, blessed, blessed, blessed in my mess, blessed, blessed. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. The Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. So he can give you things. Just because you got things doesn't mean you're blessed. Some of those things are distractions. The Bible declares, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That means that everything in the world, you can gain it and still lose your soul. So you got the car, you got the house, you got the diamond, but you have lost your soul. So he tells him, you know, as long as they name it and claim it, everybody happy. No repentance, everybody happy. No confession, everybody happy. When he says stop, then that's where the problem starts. But you got to Humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord. Huh? So he may exalt you in due season. You got a time that God's going to lift you up. Huh? He has to try you first. You just come in here talking about, okay, God, all right, God. Just bless me and I'll do that for you. The Bible said that he left Israel in the wilderness. He said, I left you here. He's 40 years to try you, to prove you, to see what was in your heart, to see whether or not you were, see whether you will serve me or not. I left you here to see what was going to happen. Israel walked around the wilderness, the adults, the grown folks, walked around the wilderness for 40 years, and all the old folks died out. Do you not know that all those folks had seen all those plagues and lices and blood, that the Lord had all those signs and wonders that he used when he delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh? Do you not know that they didn't even go in the promised land? Because they was not willing and obedient. They didn't humble themselves. So they walked around the same mount for 40 years. Kept missing the door. I know it's somewhere over here. Kept missing the door. Huh? For 40 years. But because they were God's people, he said, I tell you what, I'm going to let every last one of them that came out of Egypt die in this wilderness. But I'm going to let their children walk out. Huh? I'm going to let their children walk out into the promised land. Go back and read it and call me a liar when you see it. It's not there. But you're going to find it, so you ain't going to call me no liar. Let me tell you something. We got to get some stuff up. We can't keep doing what we're doing. We can't keep doing what we're doing and expect to change. What the man say? You keep doing the same thing the same way and expect to change. That is madness. Huh? It's madness. You got to change. Come on, do you not know that also we teach ourselves certain things? We didn't know all that stuff. We kept doing it till we learned it. Once we learned it, now we have to be unlearned, and that's where the pain hurts us. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I don't know how I got down that road, but he says, let him come unto me. Watch what happens now. Verse 9, he said, wherefore God also had highly exalted him. He's going to highly exalt you too. And give him a name which is above every name. Jesus said, if they keep my saying, they're going to keep yours. They hate me, they're going to hate you. Watch this. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whether you like it or not, whether they say it or not, whether they believe or not, they will bow. I can imagine them bowing now when it's too late, saying, what a mighty God. I can see their knees knocking as they're going to the floor. Saying, Jesus Christ is Lord. Wait a minute, all this time? Jesus Christ is Lord. They're confessing. And it ain't to Jesus' glory, but it's to the glory of God. Give him praise. Glorify him. On your way to hell, you glorifying Jesus. Wow. That thing got hurt. That thing got hurt. On your way to a devil's hell, you confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. That thing got hurt. You imagine sitting in hell in eternity crying. Because you rejected Christ. Or there's some stuff you just refuse to give up with. Let me tell you something now. Let me get something straight here right now. See, what happens is, see, when we continue to go into the sin, see, the sin then automatically causes us to go right back and backslide. But what it does is, it keep the sin that we're in and we keep doing, keep afflicting us so much so, to after a while, we just quit and give up. And then we turn around and go back. We say, we can't do this. I can't make this. I can't make this. And we just say, forget it, I'm going back. To what? To what? Once again, I guess we'll sound like them boys of the Israelite. Were there no graves in Egypt? We had bread to eat in Egypt. Wait a minute, what you going to have when you go back to the devil? Huh? A party? Huh? Some lying, laughing friends who trying to stab you in the back, saying they're with you? What you going back to? Come on, you going back to a sin that's going to kill you? Let me tell you something, the price of sin, it neither increased nor decreased. It's still the same. They ain't jacked the price up nor brought it down. It's still the same. It's neither increased nor decreased. So what you going to do? Go back to that? Where you going? Who else have the key to eternal life? Who other than Jesus? If you want better, do better. Let that stuff go. All right, Lord, here it all is. Yeah, I taught myself that. Well, you're going to have to unteach yourself by coming to the foot of the cross. And don't be ashamed, don't be afraid to walk alone. Lord, I can't tell people that. I mean, that one of our major problems, wondering about who is walking with us. Huh? Who with us? Who's not with us? Who's with us? I tell you what, get your lights turned off and see which one of them folks that you think which you're going to turn paper. Just turn them off. That's just a natural thing. Call your friends and say, I just had my light turned. Tick, hello. Hello, buddy? Friend? Hello? Huh? Hello? They want to carry, if they do answer, can they carry a 2-hour conversation while you got your lights cut off? Huh? And what you did wrong? Come on. You better pay them light bills and not worry about them folks. Leave them shoes where they at. Anyway, listen here now. But they're going to bow. Turn to Luke 18 and 35. I'm going to be on schedule today with the help of the Holy Ghost. Luke, the doctor, 8 and 35. I'm sorry, 18 and 35. Luke 18 and 35. You got to want this thing. It ain't going to make your marriage sweeter. It's going to make you have better children. It's going to make you make more money. It's going to make you healthier. It's going to give you more peace. It's going to give you more joy. And I'm going to tell you, this joy that you get, the world can't take it. They didn't give it, and they can't take it away. Huh? Yes, sir. It's going to give you favor. And favor ain't fair. So what they getting mad about? We don't care about they mad. Huh? So what you worry about? Huh? Let me just tell you. Don't worry about them folks. Better cut folks out. Sometimes you can't even talk to your own family members. And some of them, you can't let them to your house except for one time a year, Thanksgiving. Come on, eat and buy. And where you going, June Book? Don't go down the hall with your roguish self. It's a shame we got folks like that. And Uncle Bob, you got to have a place for him out in the garage because he's going to get drunk. Start cussing. You can't let him tear up your house. After Thanksgiving, help him home. Drive him home. Take the rest of the turkey. And pray for him. But let me tell you, some family members you just got to stay away from. And just keep praying for him. And asking the Lord to give you the power and authority of the Holy Ghost so you can go back and witness to him. Don't leave him now by himself. Just separate yourself so that you can go and pray and seek the face of God and get some strength to go back and help him. But if you ain't strong enough yet, don't go back yet. Because they will remind you what you used to be, how you used to do it. Huh? Especially if they're older than you. Yes, sir. They'll tell you a few things. Come on, boy, I know you ain't. I said, look, when I'm around some of my family members, the ones some ain't got delivered to, I wait. And I know I'm going to be speaking or doing something. I just wait for the Holy Ghost. My day coming. My moment coming. I'm sitting quiet. They're doing all the talking like they're in charge. But when the Holy Ghost step up in front side of me, they all perplexed. Whoa. Call me Reb. What's up, Reb? Don't call me no doggone Reb. But look at him. But it's their high respect. And then they start calling for prayer. Then nieces and nephews that I just met calling me long distance and texting me all time of the night, asking me for help. See, because I sat quietly. Not trying to impress them with Jesus. Jesus don't need me to defend him. He don't need you to defend him either. with your powerful self. Just be quiet. The Bible says even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. Just shut up. He says study to be quiet. You're going to have to work on it. Some of us get a problem. He says study. Study to be quiet. I just had to say it. No, you don't. Study. Work on it. Sometimes I'm sitting in a room and everybody's saying everything they want to say. My time coming. I'm just waiting on the Lord to give me an opportunity. He ain't told me yet, so I'm just sitting here. And I ain't offended. So you can't, whatever you say to me, you have not hurt my virgin ears. You ain't offended me. You offended yourself with your nasty mouth self. You ain't hurt me. Huh? Them your words. Actually, it's telling me what's in you for what's in the man comes out the man. Huh? It's just telling me how nasty you are, and I need you to keep talking because I know it need to know what I need to pray about. Ooh, that is dirty there, Lord. Keep talking. Bring it all up. Bring it all out. So I know how to intercede. Huh? God ain't through with me yet. He ain't through with none of us yet, but there's some filth inside of you. Now keep talking. Now when you get all that garbage out and say it's your worst you can say, now I know what to pray for about you. Sometimes we interrupt folks and cut them off before they finish. And then they camouflage themselves like that little lizard, the chameleon. They change colors in our presence. Hallelujah. Isn't he great? He's a wonderful God. Then you walk away, bleep, bleep, bleep. Oh, yeah, that okay. So, y'all seen there some folk got no chameleon spirit. That's why y'all keep getting taken advantage of. They keep sticking a blade in your back and helping you look for the man that stuck you. And they the one stuck you. You seen him? Now I'm looking for him, too. Let's go out and back. They the one stuck you. But let them folks say what they want to say. If they want to cuss, let them cuss. Let me tell you something. When the Lord delivered me, I stopped cussing folks out. Hello? The Lord took that cuss word out of my mouth. I start cussing folks out when I got mad. Yeah. Now I do speak real, real, real low when I'm angry. Very low. So you say, what he said? You better not do that again. I'm yelling at you, all right. But I get real, real low. I'm angry. And the Bible said, be angry, sin not. Now I ain't even knock holes in the wall. But I suggest you not keep doing that. But listen here now. Luke 18:35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. He's blind. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Now he don't see anything, y'all, but he hears him. He's blind. Maybe he got a condition that makes him blind, huh? Maybe just can't figure this problem out and makes him blind. But he hears the multitude pass by. He said, hey, what's going on? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. He's blind, y'all. Listen now. He can't see. He's in a situation he can't see his way out. But he hears this noise. Maybe he hears a praise. I don't know, but he hears. Hearing the multitude pass by. That means if they were walking by, somebody must have been walking behind Jesus, glorifying him. Somebody could have been praising him. Maybe they were walking behind Jesus crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. I don't know. Maybe they were coming behind Jesus saying, touch me, Lord. Change my heart. But he heard the multitude. Maybe they was running behind Jesus, trying to catch up. But he heard, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked, what's going on? What it meant? He asked, what it meant? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. My, oh God. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. If he's passing by, he's passing by your situation. He's passing by your location. He passes by. Didn't say he was stopping, but he was passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. I didn't say I didn't do it, but have mercy on me. Jesus, I know I'm saying that I didn't do it. I didn't say I wasn't guilty, but I asked for mercy. It could have been what I got into caused me to have this blindness. See, sometimes you can go out and sin and you end up with a reprobate mind. I got this mind like this because of my sin, but have mercy on me. I need some mercy. I'm blind. I don't know how to get out of this thing. I'm blind. I need mercy. I know you're passing by, Jesus. He cried out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Watch what happened now. And they which went before him, rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Shut up! You're making too much noise. I told you, everybody don't want you delivered. Everybody don't want you set free. Huh? Some folks make a profit off of you. Acting and doing what you do. Huh? They can't sell their drugs unless you act crazy. Huh? Oh, no, sir. No, sir. They can't sell the alcohol unless you're coming. They give a good advertising, too. Keep doing what you're doing. Huh? They need you to stay where you're at. Don't you open your mouth and cry. They told them, hold your peace. Shh, shh, shh. You may get Jesus' attention. See, they want to be delivered, but they want you bound. Shh, 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 shh. Be quiet. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. Don't you open your mouth. Don't you cry out. Let me tell you something. Every once in a while, you have to stop and cry out, Jesus. You just got to cry out, Jesus. Jesus. Wait a minute. You don't know what to say. You just say, Jesus. 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 You may be hurting. Jesus. I'm coming. Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. You don't know what to say. Jesus. You don't even know what's coming after you. Jesus. I feel it in the spirit realm, so I cry. Jesus. This blind man, he couldn't see me. Jesus. They told him, be quiet. Hold your peace. Watch what happens. But he cried so much more. Stop that praying. You know, I was telling the men yesterday, you got to come pray. You got to pray. You can't sit here and ride the wave. You got to open your mouth. And once you get delivered, you got to open your mouth for somebody else. If you think you arrived, then who else are you praying for? Okay, so you're all right. You don't know nobody else need help? Wait a minute, nobody else? Because after a period of time, the Lord going to take, just like for me, after a period of time, the Lord going to take all your problem out that wheelbarrow. Hello? Then what you going to do? I don't think I should pray. Oh, really? I tell you what, stop talking to your wife. Stop talking to your husband. See what happens. You're not going to have that close relationship you think you got. It's going to be a separation, a great divide. Even friends got to call each other up. Bro, what's going on? What's going on, baby? What you doing? Let's get a little fishing, a little hunting. Let's go do something. Friends do that. You got to have communication. You ain't talking to Jesus? Wait a minute. With all going on in our world, we have nothing to talk to Jesus about? Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. But he cried so much the more. The son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't say I was innocent. He just asked for mercy. Watch this now. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. He commanded him to be brought. He commanded. See, some folk helping you, they want to help you. They want to help you on their own. But the Lord commanded them to bless you. He commanded. He said, listen, I'll give you houses that you didn't build, vineyards that you didn't plant. He said that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I make your enemies your footstools. I spread a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He commanded them to be brought. Look at, did he mean that they were delivered and wanted nothing themselves? He commanded, bring the blind man to me. Listen now, you full of sin, full of devils, and the Lord command you to bring him because he's praising. Y'all better be careful on them folks walking around here looking all mysterious and wonderful like they all say. I've seen in many churches. I ain't saying it happening here. I'm just talking. But look here. You can see some churches that they walk around like they're mysterious and wonderful, like they got it all together. We are the clergy, the priests. We're the saved, esteemed ones. They ain't got nothing together. Huh? A tinkling cymbal sounding brass. The Bible says they're like white sepulchres full of dead men's bones. Ain't nothing going on, but they look good when they walk. Ooh, they must be the saved ones there. Huh? I used to call them kind event staff. When you got an event, they show up. Here come Elder Harris. I said, that's right, doggone it. You got to get loose or you're going to be lost. Huh? But they always looking good. Huh? But they ain't prayed 15 seconds. And they always want to be up front to be seen. Let me help the man. But when the true prophets come, let me tell you something about them kind. They always back up off a true prophet. They don't want to stand too close to him because he might see some things. Matter of fact, they don't want the prophet in the prophet's eyesight. They got to move now. Not true prophets. But when the preachers come, just preaching, no prophets. Oh, they helping. Let me get your water. Let me get your drink. Let me get your shoe. Let me get your bag. And then they block folks from dead need to be delivered. Hey, what you going? Hey, hell, hold up. Where you going? Can't run up on a man of God like that. Well, that's kind of perhaps within Jesus' day. See? They told this blind man, be quiet. Watch what happens now. They did the same. I'm telling you, listen, y'all. Y'all say what y'all want to say and go tell on me if you want to. But I was a member of two churches before I started this church. And I'm going to call their names so you can figure out which one. Both of them. Cathedral Faith, which was formerly Great Holy Temple, and Titus Harvest Home. And that stuff happened in both of them. So go tell on me. Huh? Church of God in Christ and non-denominational. Huh? And I visited Baptists, priests and Methodists, Pentecost, and everywhere else I preached. Let me tell you something. When they said I saw I had a gift, they did it to him. You help him. Hmm? Yes, sir. But I'm just telling you. But they said, listen now. Hey, let's back up and see what they said. They told him, hold your peace. Huh? Don't you run up on the preacher like that. What's your problem? Hmm? But when the preacher, Jesus, the minister, the healer, called him, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought to him, that means he couldn't see, y'all. He was blind. So they had to lead him up here. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. That's like you bringing somebody from way back there and you got all these issues and he command you to bring them to him to be healed and you got to go back to where you came with studying stuff on you with your sanctified, dignified, holy self. Huh? You got to open your mouth like that boy did. I can't see what you see. Sometimes you got to shut your eyes if you have to, so you can stop being distracted by what people are saying or doing and cry out. Ooh, look at how Harris was crying out. That ain't your soul. But they said, ooh, look at the anointing on him. See, Jesus will look past all them folks and call you. Matter of fact, he'll make, looking, he can't see how he opened. Listen, yo, open the middle of the aisle up so he can come. Open it up, let him come. Now you can go back to your seat. The heel is for him. Watch what he says now. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what will thou that I should do unto thee? See, when you really get Jesus' attention, I ain't talking about that fake stuff. When you get Jesus' attention, nobody has to tell you you got Jesus' attention. Hello? When you get Jesus' attention, nobody has to tell you that you got his attention. And when you get his attention, he says to you, he talks to you. And he said, watch to him now. And when he was coming, he asked him, saying, what will thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. See, when you get Jesus' attention, you can ask him some things. When I hear people run off at the mouth and I know they ain't got Jesus' attention, that's what's going on with them. They ain't got Jesus' attention. Then they got the other person's attention. Then they got each other's attention. But they ain't got Jesus' attention. They ain't got each other's nerve, but they ain't got Jesus' attention. When you get Jesus' attention, he talks to you. What you need? What can I do for you? What you want? See, even when you get Jesus' attention, you got to ask for what you will, what you need. He said, you have not because you ask not. When you got the attention, now you're sitting there, you won't ask nothing. Huh? I start asking. I start talking to the Lord when I get his attention. I start talking. What do you do? What you want? Do you want your sight? Do you want to be healed? Did you want your children delivered? What you want? But some folks, they start asking before he gets his attention, yelling and screaming. So I told you, some of us, we come to church and sit on our hands. We just like icicles when you come to church. How you going to be icicles around strangers? They don't know you. Praise God. Huh? And if they do know you, praise God. Don't sit there like icicles. Look at man, if we combine our forces, we can get Jesus to come in. And our forces is our praise. We start glorifying and praising Jesus. He shows up. I told another minister this here, he would run off at the mouth. I said, let me tell you something. All the folks talking that trash about Benny Hinn, I said, I provide security for him for about 3 or 4 days and personal. And I said, let me tell you this here. And I watch the people. Benny Hinn didn't call himself a healer. You better pay another attention. The folks called Benny Hinn that. What Benny Hinn did was put the people into a place where and put them in the atmosphere and invoke them to worship God and praise God. And while the people worship and praise God, God himself, by his spirit, moved out and healed them of their sickness and their diseases. And by the time that Benny Hinn came in, he told his ministers, I'm telling you, I watched it because I want to know too. And Benny Hinn sent his people out there, and he started walk through the aisle, He sent his ministers. And then he came back, and they said, now, what happened? With wheelchair. He said, now, Pastor, this woman, we're sitting down praising God, just glorifying God, and the heat came all over her body, and the legs that she was not able to move for 20 years is now healed. And Benny Hinn said, what? Come here, woman. Do something that you couldn't do before. And then she does it. He said, give him glory. Give him praise. Come and get another touch. How Benny Hinn did healing? The woman in her praise, the woman in her worship, like the blind man crying Jesus. If you ain't got healed, maybe you just ain't open your mouth. Maybe you just ain't got this attention. Maybe you just still sitting there. Maybe you ain't ready to get rid of that thing. And you don't have to tell people you're healed when you're healed. They can see it. Wait a minute, ain't this your son that was blind? What happened to him? His parents, hold up. He is of age, ask him. He grown. Why should I tell his testimony? Ask him. Sorry, them folks would kick them out the church anyway if they said Jesus. And some folks don't want to get kicked out of the old tradition, the church they've been in for 40 years, dead. Mm-mm. They like them positions. They like that gossiping and trash talking and stuff going on. Mm. But they said, listen, you want to know what happened to this boy? Ask him. He is of age. Don't ask us. So what I'm saying to you is, maybe you ain't healed, delivered, got your financial issues worked out. Maybe your habits ain't broken. Maybe the Lord hadn't thought again to make you the head because you ain't praising. You could be doing everything else but just sitting there. All the other stuff you're doing, Jesus said you ought to do it and not leave the other undone. Huh? You ought to do that and do the stuff you're supposed to be doing too. Huh? Well, I do this. I give. I do. Well, you ought to, Jesus said. And not leave the other undone. Huh? You ought to. So perhaps, it's self-examination. You might say, punch your finger this way. This ain't personal today. Sitting in your doggone front living room. But watch this here now. And Jesus, watch this now, saying, back up to 40 again, verse 40 again. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what will thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. When you come to him, you must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe that he is. When you come to him, you must believe that he is. Well, you can't believe he is listening to all the other people. Oh, here come Gilbert Patterson. I've been listening to Gilbert Patterson this week. Boy, I tell you what, I've been enjoying myself listening to Bishop Gilbert Patterson. You know, Gilbert Patterson said, listen, we done taught you how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what you done done? We done taught you how to be saved. Well, guess what you done done? You done left this higher learning class and you done went down to the kindergarten class asking questions. Now, wait a minute. Now, they said, now, can I be saved? Wait a minute. Now, listen. Now, what are the 5 parts of being filled with the Holy Ghost? Wait a minute. Now, what are the 10 steps to being saved? Now, let me ask you now. Wait a minute. Now, what's the deep word on forgiveness? Now, the Greek and Hebrew word. Now, wait a minute. Now, so now you walked out of confused. Now you walked out confused. This is a simple gospel. It is hidden to them that's lost. And if you don't want to be lost, all you got to do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. All you got to do is be like this blind man and say, Jesus! You got to cry out for real. I told you there's some stuff I wrestled with in my life until one day I was on my knees. Strubbing the church flow. And the enemy started attacking me, and I said, no! And I ain't never had an issue from him no more. He ain't showed up no more. The Bible said, resist the devil, and he will flee. When he knows you mean business, he will leave you alone. Girl, that man is still trying to get in your window, in your bed, because you will really mean it. Tell him no! He'll leave you be. If you tell the enemy, no! I'm not going back to that habit. No! I'm not laying down with you. He had to leave you alone. And if he keep on, you know what the Lord does? He put an angel on the run. And he give his angel charge over thee. I suggest you turn back. I suggest you turn back. Watch this, y'all. He said, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight. Not yet, not the day, not 10 days later. Because he opened his mouth for real. Because he humbled himself for real. He couldn't see a situation. He couldn't see a way out of the situation. And he didn't cover nothing up. He said, have mercy on me. a sinner. The other man said, but listen here, just said, have mercy. Have mercy. He said, have mercy. And Jesus said, what you want? What you want? See, if you walk out of here lacking, that's your fault. If you keep lacking in your life, that's your fault. Let me show you something. And he immediately received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Watch here. It's a conjunction, y'all. And all the people. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Some of us so covered this, we ain't getting, we ain't gonna praise God. We ain't praying for nobody. He ain't praying for me right now. He ain't healing me right now. So why should I praise and rejoice with them? He said, huh. All the people, when they saw this blind man get his eyesight, they have, oh, glory to God. This man got his eyes open. Not the ones that he commanded to bring him, see. The religious ones. Mm-mm. Told him to be quiet. But the other folks, good God from Zion. This man just got delivered out of poverty. Wow. This man just got a new car, got a new house. He ain't got to walk and catch the bus no more. Wait a minute. So they gave praise. Listen now, they still got to catch the bus. Huh? They still don't have a house. They still living in a shelter. They still living in an abandoned house. They still in a rooming house. They're in a hotel. But they praise God for him. I don't know when I'm going to get my blessing, but he says he's going to give it to me, so I'm going to praise him till I get it. Huh? I'm going to praise him with you until I get mine, because I know I'm getting one too. Huh? And finally, John 7:37. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll stop getting beat up if you do. You don't have to tell us you got filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll tell you. And all you got to do is be filled with the Holy Ghost and ask. John 7:37 says, and in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He cried, if any man thirst, a woman. He cried. If any man thirst for the Holy Ghost, let him come. If any man thirst to be delivered, let him come. If any man thirst to be healed, let him come. He cried. Well, he didn't whisper. He cried. If any man, any man. He stood. He stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He stood up. If any man thirst, if any man is bound, if any man want to be delivered, if any man want to be set free, if any man, he said, let him come. I'm asked, if any man, any man. Oh, Jesus. He stood. He's not moving. He stood. So they can find him. He stood still. And you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. So they found him, and so he cried, if any man. He stood. So they could see him in the crowd. He stood. Oh, little boy, little girl. He stood. You're a little girl. You're still a woman. You're a little boy. You're still a man. He cried out. If any man thirst. Gonna Jesus, I got this thing going on in my mind. Jesus, if any man thirst, if any man, black man, white man, brown man, olive man, Puerto Rican man, African man, Caucasian man, any man. He stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Not to your mama, not to your daddy, but to me. Not to the pastor, but to me. If you thirst. And he don't need you to ask him all those questions either, like the woman at the well. Huh? Don't be telling me, woman, about who you are. Just listen to me. Woman, if you...